Friends, it may please Almighty God this morning to ask you please to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and verses 14 and 15. The Gospel is recorded by St. John, chapter 3. We read verses 14 and 15. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Really, that last part of verse 14, but we read that whole, or those two verses, as Moses lifted up the serpent, we read of that account in Numbers where the serpent bitten children of Israel had got that venom within them, those fiery serpents that were sent to bite them. And we read, and much people died. Therefore, we read in Numbers 21, verse 7, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he will take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. They had that venom within them. They had that sickness. And that was within them. And they were facing sure and certain death. Some of them had died. But the Lord spoke unto Moses and said, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. We see much in this chapter. The prayer of Moses, the obedience of Moses. We see that the children of Israel have now been afflicted with this venom from the fiery serpents. And dear friends, the truth is this: each and every one of us were born in sin. We were shapen in iniquity. We have each had one of two sure and certain appointments in our life. The one was our birth, the appointed day, a day when we knew not of, a day that we could not appoint ourselves. Friends, there is that final appointment with you and with me, that none of us shall be alter or change. And that is the day of our death. Now we have been born in sin. These, the children of Israel, have been bitten here in the wilderness. And they were surely going to die without a remedy. And you and I, if we die in our sin, we will come to an eternal death. We will come to a death banished from God. But those who know this remedy, that look unto this dear man, the man Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was slain before the foundation of the world, here we have the remedy. So as much in that Gospel of John so much. We need so much teaching, the teachings of Jesus while he was here upon this earth. Friends, the question is, do we know this remedy? They were told to look. Moses set forth that serpent of brass upon a pole. God told him that all that looked lived. It was held high. It was held high that all could see whether they were close or whether they were far away. But there would have been those who chose not to look. You said, why look at a pole of brass? That will not cure us. That will not heal us of our sin. That will not heal this dreadful venom that is in their veins. That would not keep them alive. And that's just like men and women. Just like people that will not have God to reign over them. They do not want to be constrained by the word of God. They do not want the direction of the word of God. They do not want to know the remedy for their sin. They're happy to live in their sin and to die in their sin. But they know not the wrath that is before them. The darkest, thickest blackness. Our tongues could never tell of the horror that is before those who will not look to this remedy, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the life, the truth, and the way. There is none other. There can be no other remedy. There is no middle ground, no middle road. Jesus said, I am the way. And there is the way to eternal life. That is the way, the narrow way. There is the way that leadeth unto eternal death and destruction, which is the broad way. We are each this morning found on one road or another. We are found in one way or another. There is no middle ground, no middle road. Nothing that we can claim of ourselves. It is Jesus and Jesus only who is the Saviour of his people. Friends, it's a personal religion. They could not ask for somebody else to look on their behalf. They could not ask for somebody else to do it for them. And that is exactly the same with you and I. We cannot rest on another. We cannot claim something that we have done of ourselves and think that to be sufficient. We have not looked in faith, believing alone in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to reclaim ruined sinners. And that is what we are. We do not like perhaps to be thought of as rebels, as sinners, as wicked, as vile. And there was one young lady at work a good few years ago, and it was one who was going to be baptized. She'd never been to church, she'd never been to a service, but she agreed that she would go. She went and she heard. But the next morning at work, she said, I didn't like that man last night. He called me a sinner. And that was what she did not like. She, perhaps like us, like we have been, don't like to think that we're sinners. Perhaps think we're doing that which is right, done what we can, been to the services of God all our life. We've done that which has been required of us. Friends, just to come to a chapel service, a church service, is not sufficient for our eternal souls to be saved and to be in glory forevermore. We cannot claim that we will go to heaven. The hymn says, am I made a real Christian? Washed in the Redeemer's blood. Just to say we're a Christian because we're numbered with people that are Christians. Friends, he's not a real Christian. Do we know the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth for ourselves? Have we looked to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, the Son of God? We read in John, for God so loved the world. Not love that verse. God so, not just loved the world, but he so loved the world that he freely gave to be the remedy of sin. And what is sin? It's the least transgression of the law of God. Because in God's sight, sin is abhorrent. He abhors it. But God so loved the world. He knew that we're all serpent bitten. Got that venom of sin running through our veins. And each of us are lost. We're born lost. We're born blind. We are born deaf to these things. Oh, that the Lord would open ears and eyes and hearts to see the desperate state that we're in if we have not a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Who is Jesus? His name, he was so called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Friends, without a Saviour, we are lost. The hymn, that hymn, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You could sing that hymn. But friends, does it find us out? Can we agree with the hymn writer that we were wretched, vile, weak, poor? Hymn 198, that saved a wretch like me. He knew he was lost. He knew he was on the road to danger. He knew he was on the road to a never-ending hell. Outside of heaven, to be ever shut out of the sight of a just and holy God. He owns it. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Man, John Newton, who was the slave trader, what he was before God rescued him and saved him by his grace. That grace, which means the free, unmerited favour of God. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to save the ruined, the lost, the perishing. We have that word in that verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his unspeakable gift. That gift that God gave. He, but that the world through him might be saved. Whosoever believeth in him might be saved. They should not perish. As we come to this everlasting life, everlasting, think of eternity. Eternity never began and it never ends. Eternity is either in heaven or it is in hell. Those who are saved by the grace of God will be found in glory, eternal glory, in that eternal kingdom with Christ. Those who are out of Christ, those who are perishing in their own sin and will not have this man to reign over them, they will not hear the gospel. They reject it, they resent it, they hate it. Be lost. Lost to bear their own punishment. But it will be for an eternity shut out of Christ. Never to come from that eternal state. How do these things affect you this morning? How do we hear these things when we hear the solemnity of our eternal end? As it was with these serpent-bitten ones, they knew not how much longer they had upon the earth. They knew not how much longer they could live. They had this venomous sin in them. And you and I do not know how much longer we should be found upon this earth. Whether it be hours, days, weeks, months, years. Am I ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian? Now, I said earlier about those that were gathered, that there was that remedy held high in the midst of them. And it was a personal thing to look. If they looked away from that downward state, that inward state, to this brazen serpent upon a pole, they would live. Those who look not to the brazen serpent would die. But they had to look themselves. We know not, friends, how many or how much time we'll gather it perhaps up in that at the moment, how much time you and I will be found upon this earth. Do the things of earth and time mean more to you than your never dying soul? Yes, there are many things that have to be attended to. Good things, lawful things. But friends, what of those things that we spend far too much time doing? Our thoughts doing, our intentions doing, perhaps our money paying for them. Our life is fleeing away. Earthly pleasures do not last. I thought yesterday afternoon about something. You know, perhaps if you, something you particularly look forward to, you wait a certain time, it comes. That day comes, that opportunity comes, that thing comes, and then it's gone. We have perhaps sometimes a memory of it for a while, and then it's disappeared. Now much time, much energy, much effort may have gone into that particular thing or event, and then it's disappeared. Our life is disappearing. Our life is fleeing. We think sometimes, especially now in the ministry of the Word, one Lord's Day seems to roll into another, so quickly comes. And then we think that solemnity comes over us. What have I done? What have I achieved? What have I done that I should have done? What have I done that I should not have done in that past week? Where have my efforts and my thoughts been, my energy been? Have I given any thought to the eternal state of my never-dying soul? It's the most important matter that you and I will ever have. The matter of your never-dying soul. Eternal welfare of your never-dying soul. Jesus came to this earth to suffer, to bleed, and to die. Jesus was lifted up upon a cross. He was humiliated. He was spat upon. He was mocked. He was nailed. He was sat down and watched by that quaternion of soldiers as they watched his earthly life come from him. They saw that blood running down his feet, his hands, his side, his head. It'd been scourged in his dear back. It held that mock crown of those long thorns placed upon his head. They had smote him, given him vinegar mingled with gall to drink. The punishment that Jesus Christ bore in his holy body, his sinless body, he came to pay the price of sin. What a cost! Jesus was lifted up on that cross as the serpent was lifted up on the pole, but only those that look live. And friends, as it is, we are without excuse. Those people in the midst of that great throng around that brazen serpent heard what Moses said. He told them what the remedy was. And you and I, many times, if we have sat under the sound of the gospel, your dear pastor, many times will have spoken of these things. We are without excuse. We cannot say in that great day of judgment, I did not know. We cannot say in that great day, the things of my life took far more priority. There'll be in that great day two words. One to those that have found, one to those that have looked, and one to those that have not looked. Come. We read in Matthew 25, to the sheep that have been separated, and unto the goats which have been separated out from the sheep, we here depart. Friends, that's the most solemn word a dead soul will ever hear. Depart. Oh, may not one in this house of God this morning ever hear that most solemn word. A friend is not depart for just a little while. Our short lives, even if they come to 100 years old, is nothing compared to eternity. Nothing at all. Friends, there'll be that eternal punishment in hell that will have to be borne by that soul who despised Christ, who rejected the word of God, the doctrines of the word of God, the commands of the word of God. We cannot pick and choose perhaps what we want to do and what we do not want to do. These are the commandments of God. Look and live. Was that which was spoken? But those that looked not, they perished. They died without venom in their veins. And those that do not look to a crucified, suffering Saviour who was humiliated upon the cross, he bore that tremendous pressure on his holy soul in the garden at Gethsemane. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. That was the punishment, that was the suffering that he came. But we read in Hebrews, for the joy that was set before him. The joy that was set before Jesus. He was to go to the cross. He was to bear the punishment of sinners. For the joy that was set before him, he despised the shame. He endured that pain. He endured the mocking, the jeering. Those that hit him. Those that brought him into the judgment hall, was falsely accused. He bore it, dear friends, in love. Love. Such tremendous and great love that souls would not be cast into an eternal hell, into eternal misery, to be cast out. We read of those virgins in Matthew 25 at the beginning. That's not got time now. How they were separated. And what were the words spoken to those foolish virgins? Those that had to go off and get oil, because they had not attended unto it before the bridegroom came. These words were spoken, behold, the bridegroom cometh. They all arose, they trimmed their lamps. The wise had oil in their vessels. They lit their lamps, and the lamp gave forth light. But the foolish went, as they were told, to go and buy oil. But they attended unto it too late. They were too late. For when they came back, they had got that oil. These words, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Friends, the separation was this, that those that were ready went in to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Those that were ready, those that had looked in faith. And a look's not just a glance. A look is to behold. It's something with an intention that we do willingly. They went into the marriage supper and the door was shut. There will be a day when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, in power and in great glory, with all his holy angels with him. That day is coming also, known only to God the Father. And then the door of life, as we know it here below, will be shut, eternally shut, never to be opened. And those that were not ready heard, I know you not. Further in the 25th chapter of Matthew, there you have at the end of that chapter, concerning that which I've already spoken of the come and the depart, of the sheep and of the goats, there is a division. There's many times in the Word of God where there is a separation, and you and I will be separated from this earth. When that day will come, we know not. But the great thing, the most important thing, is are you ready to go in to the supper of the Lamb? Are we ready? Are we ready? Can we depart this life knowing that Jesus is our all in all? How perhaps you sing that hymn, I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. One thing to sing it, but another to know the real meaning of it, to leave everything that we have. How, if we're honest, we hold to our possessions, don't we? The things that we have, many different things. Perhaps we might even say, well, that's mine. You can't have that as mine. All things are lent to us for our journey here below. We've got nothing, a stitch we can't call our own. A penny in our pockets, we cannot call our own. It's all given to us and lent to us. We're given the various skills and abilities that we have to do what we do by God. We can't master up anything ourselves. We've got no good thing within us except that which God does. Oh, may we use our talents. May we use those things that the Lord has given us for his honour, for his glory, and for the good of the church here below. That serpent lifted high. Jesus was lifted high. Where, oh where, will you, will I spend eternity? Eternity, eternity, where will you and I spend that never-ending eternity? Will it be in the immediate presence of Christ our Saviour? Will it be in glory forever and forever? There to see our dear Saviour crowned in light, for he is the light in Emmanuel's land. There should be no more sinning, no more pain, no more suffering. There to be ever praising Jesus, who suffered in our room, place and stead, who has done all things well, to enjoy that eternal peace, to be with Christ, which is far better. May God forgive all we've spoken amiss. May he bless each never dying soul here with that faith to look unto Christ, the only remedy for your sin, for mine, can only be washed in his precious blood. And these are they which have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. These are they that will be in that great thronging glory. Amen.